joining us here on the UOG. Jesus came to declare to us the Father of spirits. He came to declare God to us, to you and me. That's the reason Jesus came. And how did he declare God to us? He came to explain, to tell, and to reveal to us that God is the Father of every spirit. He's the Father of your spirit. He's the Father of my spirit. So that means that God is spirit. This is a question we get asked so many times. So that's why we want to take some time today to go over this in a deeper way. How can we as human beings relate with God, the Father of spirits? Well, that's why Jesus came and Jesus explained this to us. But many times we still miss the point because we see Jesus' words in the letter, in the natural. And we don't understand that everything that Jesus said, every word that Jesus spoke was spirit and life. It's the words of eternal life. Is this word spirit and life to you, or is it a normal word? That's the question, and that's why we're going over this again today. What are the obstacles between us and God? What are the obstacles between our spirit and God's spirit? Because if God is the Father of spirits, that means that there must be a communion, a link, a relationship between our spirit and God's spirit. And if we understand that, and if we can achieve that, well, that's the greatest achievement on earth. To pray as God wants us to pray, to communicate as God wants us to communicate, to speak to God and for him to hear us and for us to hear him. Is that not what we all want here in the University of God? Well, let's go into it today and find out how that is actually possible. So join us today for this lesson all about how to communicate with God in spirit and in truth.
Amen. In spirit and in truth. I'm going to say amen. So praise the Lord. Remember, we have to go to the beginning of everything. The scripture says in the book of Genesis chapter 1, when you read 2, 3, 4, that God delights in the communion with his children, with his people. The scripture says that when God created Adam, God placed him in the garden, right? And God was visiting his old friends every day. God delights to hear our prayers and to fellowship with us. None of us knew God first. It's God that knows us and brought us to himself. Am I right? None of us is seeking God himself. It's God that's seeking you. The question is, God sent his son here on earth for a purpose. Jesus, as Ruth rightfully said, he came to declare God to us as the Father of spirits. Hebrews 12 verse 9. He said further, and we remind you, when Jesus went to the Samaritan woman, the Samaritan woman was considered an outcast, a foreigner to the Commonwealth of Israel, because Samaritan and Jews had no relationship. When Jesus went to that well to meet that woman in particular, Jesus said to the woman, "Give me a drink." It Jesus that started the conversation. He's a shepherd. He knows our ways. He's the one that loves us first. The wound was because he's shocked. How can you, being a Jew, who is the arch enemy of Samaritan, ask me, give me a drink? And Jesus said to him, if you know who is talking to you and what is the gift of God, you would have asked him and he would have given you living waters. That is Jesus for you. The woman is looking for natural water. And Jesus said to her, living waters. And the woman later, Jesus said to her in verse 20, John chapter 4, verse 20, you worship what you do not know. We worship what we know because salvation is from the Jews. That's what Jesus answered to the woman again. Say, you, are you greater than Jacob who gave us this well? That was the first reaction. We have the natural tendency to use our human knowledge to resist the revelation that comes from God. Everything new revealed by God, if we don't have the grace of spiritual understanding, we reject it because our mind cannot understand it. Jesus Christ was referring to waters from heaven, and the Samaritan woman was referring to natural water from the well of Jacob. Are you greater than him? And Jesus said, whoever drinks this water will thirst again. But
whoever drinks the water I shall give him
will never thirst.
Will never thirst.
It was at that moment, say, give me this water. So no, come here. And Jesus said, go and call your husband. You know what followed next? We need to understand the purpose why the Son of God was manifested on this earth. He was manifested to restore the relationship and fellowship between God and man. Two things, relationship and fellowship. Adam was fellowshipping with God, relationship with God, every day at the garden, as the scripture says. But the moment he disobeyed God's command, the relationship was broken and the fellowship ceased. That's the situation. And God said, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, that a seed will come from the woman to destroy the power of Satan, to destroy the barrier, and to restore the relationship between the living God and man. Now that we know that God is spirit, who is man? When man sinned, the Bible says in the book of Genesis chapter 6, God really regretted for created man. In Genesis 6, verse 5, it says, man has become flesh, and the thoughts of his heart are always towards evil. We all know what happened next. Now, Jesus is the promised Messiah. We all know. Jesus is the Savior. We know. We know that Jesus came to restore the relationship and fellowship between God and man. Two, relationship, fellowship. Before you can talk about fellowship, there must be relationship. Am I right?
Mm.
Before you can worship God and declare his beauty, you must know him. You must know his ways. You must know his glory to declare his beauty. To worship him in the beauty of holiness, you must know God. That's why Jesus said to the Samaritan woman, who said to her, you Jews, you say it's in your temple and Jerusalem that God is. We Samaritans, God is in our mountain here. And the Lord said to her, verse 21, believe me, the hour is coming and the hour has come. You worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in the temple of Jerusalem, because you worship what you do not know. He was not only speaking to her, but to the Jews as well.
And he was speaking and is speaking to every single one of us today. And if we really can understand the revelation of that word, it changes everything.
Thank you.
It's not in religious practices, but Jesus has told us that it's in the heart.
Mm-hmm.
That he has come to meet with us in our heart, that's how we can worship God. And that way, nobody is excluded. And everybody has that opportunity to have that communion and relationship and fellowship with Jesus. And
thank
so
you.
Many people still today, we miss the point.
Thank you.
We're looking and trying to follow different rituals, different things where we think we must do certain things in order to worship God.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Jesus has answered us and made it so simple here. But the question is, it's so simple because it's so spiritual. It's something that we cannot see. And that is why we want to go down and break this up for you today, for you to really understand it, not just here, but here.
So basically what Jesus was saying to her was clear. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know because salvation is from the Jews. Ruth is something. When you read the Bible with our natural mind and intellect, you read, there's a discussion between Jesus and a Samaritan woman. That's the history. There's a discussion between Jesus with the Jews at the temple. That is history. But when your heart is reading, he's speaking to you. When you read the Bible with your heart, it is speaking to you personally. It's the book that reads you even as you are reading it. When your heart is open to read, you know God is speaking to you. Your conscience will respond to the message with the help of Holy Spirit. So Jesus came. He said to her, God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And he went to the Jews after in the temple in John chapter 2, verse 19, 20. Jesus said to them, destroy this temple. In 3 days, I will raise it up. They say, what are you saying? This temple took 46 years to be built. And you will build it in 3 days.
3 days.
You will build this temple? The Bible says in John chapter 2, verse 20, Jesus was referring, maybe Ruth can read it, the temple of his body. Let's listen. You can start from verse 18. John chapter 2, verse 18 to 20. Let's listen to Jesus.
So the Jews answered and said to him, what sign do you show to us since you do these things? Jesus answered and said to them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then the Jews said, it has taken 46 years to build this temple. Will you raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking of the temple of his body.
This simply means his body, my body, your body is a temple that Jesus is interested in. He came to build a new temple, not with the hands of man, but the temple built by God.
Living stones.
Living stone. Psalm 75 says, 175, unless the Lord builds a temple, the one who builds it in vain. Solomon built a temple of stone, it was destroyed. They rebuilt it, it was destroyed. But Jesus came to build a temple that no one can destroy. That's what he said to Peter. You are Peter, upon this rock of the living word, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail.
And that's the vision of the University of God, isn't it? The rock.
That's the vision.
That comes through and breaks everything in its path. Why? Because it paves way for the living word of God.
It pierces your heart. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12, sword of the spirit, for the rivers of water to come from your spirit. That's why Jesus said, I am the bread of life. John 6:35. He who comes to me will never hunger. He who believes in me will never thirst. That's what the Lord said. You can see the words of Jesus are always in the spirit. It wasn't in the natural. The parables were words that Jesus used in the natural to connect us to spiritual meaning of things. It takes a spiritually minded person, spiritually inclined person to perceive, to understand the real meaning of Jesus' words. Now the question is, we worship God in spirit and in truth. That's what Jesus said. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. So how can a mere human being like me, Ruth, and everybody watching me, be able to worship the living God, whom you cannot see, whom you cannot touch, whom you cannot feel, in spirit and in truth? And
yeah, that's God who created the heavens and the earth.
Absolutely.
In the beginning.
That's what Jesus came to see. And when Nicodemus was surprised by seeing the miracle, you see, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot see God. Unless a man is born of water and the spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. What's the meaning of that? Unless a man is born again, a new creation, like in the first day, such person can never know God, can never see God. Unless a man is born of water and the spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Another parable. Unless a man is born of the living word of God, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That's the parable Jesus said. You see, if I speak to you natural things and you don't understand, how will you understand about spiritual things? This brought us to the message of today. I want you to watch a second before we start.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
Let's take it again. Now we'll take it step by step.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light.
Stop. God said, let there be light. And there were light.
There was light.
Absolutely. When you read this scripture, you ask yourself, in the beginning was darkness, right? God said, let there be light. And there was light. That was the first thing God did. What's the meaning of that light? What's the meaning of darkness? There was darkness first. Darkness came first, right? And the light came. Let there be light, and there was light. Continue.
The light shines in the darkness.
Stop. The light shines in the darkness. Continue.
And the darkness did not comprehend
it. And the darkness did not understand it. Light and understanding of the light. Why we are saying this? At the first day, God created a light. And then I'm going to show you now a drawing that I'm going to explain. Because these are spiritual things. We take them step by step. Let me show you on your screen and we will comment. Step by step. We want to understand what the scriptures mean. John chapter 1. What does it say?
In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men.
Stop. In it was life, and light was?
The light of men.
The light. John is quoting exactly what happened in the first day of creation. That in the beginning, the word came, let there be light, and there was light. We can see in this first step, God, his word, and his spirit came together to bring a light, a special light. That light, God said it was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. Continue.
And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it.
Exactly. So, in the beginning, God created a light and darkness, and the darkness did not understand it. So, that light we are talking about is a spiritual light. It's not a natural light. When you read your Bible, you will see on the fourth day, God created the sun, the moon, and the stars, right? And they were giving light to the earth. That's a natural light. But the first day, God created a light and separated from darkness. God is a God of separation. So, it means there is separation between the light and separation between darkness. That's a veil. We call it a veil. That leads to the message of today. We have some veil. We have some barriers that separate us from the knowledge of God. We have some barriers that will separate you from entering the presence of God. Before you come to God in his light, the barriers need to be removed. So this simply means when you look at the light, you see clearly. So the light we are talking about is a light, spiritual light, the light of knowledge of God, which Paul referred to in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God.
So it's that light which brings spiritual knowledge and understanding?
Absolutely. That light means the light of revelation.
Which means sense knowledge ceases when revelation comes.
Thank you. It can only come when the veil is removed.
When the light is turned on.
When the veil between the picture I show you, there's a veil between darkness and light. When this veil is removed, you see the light clearly. But the scripture says when Adam sinned, there was a separation between God and man. And this veil came automatically. And his mind, his no more revelation, clouded. He began to walk in the natural, in the spirit, in his emotions. So, when we look clearly, God put a veil of separation there. First, separate from darkness and light. Let's continue. When Jesus came, he said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will never walk in darkness. But we have what? The light of life. When you are in the presence of God, in the Holy of Holies, Holy of Holies, where God used to speak to his people, that's where the light is. When we have this disconnection between God and man, there's the veil. I mean, a man, I will show you, just under, you can see a picture of a person who does not know God. A person who ignored whom God is. A person who ignored who Jesus is. A person who ignored what the Holy Ghost is. A person who is not saved. He is separated from God. You can see the veil is still there.
We want to know how to communicate with God. We want to know how our spirit can be connected to the Father of spirits. Because once we understand this, and once this happens in our lives, then truly we'll be walking with God. And that is what every single believer desires. Amen. If that's your desire, then you are in the right place.
We just want you to understand when we read our Bible, that everything we read has a meaning. When you go to the New Testament, Jesus is revealing the things that are hidden in the Old Testament. And he purposely quoted the Old Testament to say he is the fulfillment of it. The Bible is true because of the life of Jesus. He quoted the scriptures. He made them work, revealed them, demonstrated them, and fulfilled them. Right. So when you read the Gospel of John chapter 1, John is telling us that there is a new creation coming. A new creation is coming. We have the old man, Adam. A new man is coming. A new nature. a new fellowship, a new relationship is coming. That's what Jesus said, you need to be born again. So in the beginning, in Genesis, God created the light first. And he divided, he separated light from darkness. This means we have a kingdom of light. That's the kingdom of God. That's what you see here. The kingdom of light is the kingdom of God. And we have darkness on the other side. You can see on the left, you have light. On the right, you have darkness. It was divided by a veil. Mean there is a veil here of separation. Because of this veil, those in darkness cannot see the light. And they are separated completely. The Bible says that all men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. This simply means that to be saved, to know God, is to have the revelation here of the glory of God. When we are children of God, we are no longer in the darkness. We are in the light. That's why Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will never walk in darkness. But such person will have the light of life.
We want to just show you another clip because it's all about how we need spiritual understanding to understand what the scripture says. So let's just watch, then we'll be right back with you.
Foolish ones, slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory?
Let me explain. In the beginning, God created the light. We have seen that one in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, 4, 5. And God separated light from darkness. Now, the second clip you have seen, when Jesus came and resurrected on Sunday, Jesus met two disciples on the way to Emmaus, but they were unable to recognize that he was Jesus. And Jesus was talking to them. They say, you don't know what's happening today. Jesus of Nazareth, he has been crucified. And today we hear strange things that he has risen from the dead. Some women went to the tomb and couldn't find his body. They could not understand. And Jesus told them clearly in Matthew 16, 17 that he will go to Jerusalem. He'll be crucified. And on the third day, he will rise again. They heard it, but they never believed it. When Jesus rose from the dead, he met two of them. But they did not believe. If they really believed what Jesus said, they would wait at the upper room till Jesus appeared to them, because he made promise they would see him again. But the two were so desperate, so they lost all hope and faith, and they went back to their former life.
They forgot the words that Jesus
completely
actually told them.
Why did they forget it? Because there was a veil. There's a veil that's blocked their mind, their understanding, and their hearts.
That means it's actually impossible for us to understand the words of Jesus and for them to enter our heart unless this veil is removed.
Yes, and there are two veils, as we see. The first veil, when God separated light from darkness, is the veil that separates man from God. When you are separated from God, there's no way we can hear from him, relate with him, and fellowship with him. When the second veil comes, that veil separates spiritual things and natural things. When you look at the temple of Moses and the Old Testament, there were two veils. First veil to access the sanctuary, and another veil that separated the sanctuary from the Holy of Holies, from the presence of God. In the presence of God, there's light. In his presence, you hear his voice clearly. You hear his word clearly. You have revelation clearly from God when the veil between light and darkness, the veil between spiritual knowledge and spiritual understanding is removed by the light of revelation of the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus came to do. When Jesus comes, he will open your spiritual eyes and remove the veil. That veil, only God can remove it. He's the one that divided light from darkness, because that light is spiritual light. That darkness is spiritual. Human hands cannot remove it. God himself will remove it. This is what Jesus said. John chapter 8, verse 12. I am the light of the world. He who follows me will never walk in darkness, will have the light of light. It's the spiritual light Jesus is talking about. And Jesus is the one that removed the veil in our heart. To remove the veil, the Bible calls it in Colossians chapter 2, verse 11, the circumcision of Christ. Romans chapter 2, verse 29, 28 says, the circumcision of the heart. When Jesus comes, when you turn your heart over to Jesus, the first thing the Lord will do is to open your heart, to remove the veil between darkness and light.
The first veil.
Absolutely. That what happened to Saul. Saul was persecuting the church because he was in darkness. He was a Pharisee. He knew the letter of the law. He was a religious person doing rituals, just like the Samaritan was doing in the temple. But he did not have the true light of the knowledge of God in spirit and in truth. When he was in his way to Damascus, Jesus met him and the light shone from heaven. A light, spiritual light came and his darkness were dispelled immediately. Jesus said to him, "Hey, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus whom you persecute." At that very moment, the light of revelation began to shine in his hearts. And his eyes spiritual were opened to see the truth about Jesus. He said, he submitted immediately. "Who are you? What do you want me to do?" And Jesus said, "Go, it shall be told to you what to do." And immediately his natural eyes blindfold. But his spiritual eyes were opened by God. God is teaching us a lesson here. That Saul was blind for 3 days until he came to the presence of Ananias. And Ananias prayed for him to recover his sight. But while he was blind, God spoke to Ananias in the night in Acts chapter 9:10. "Go to the house of Judah. There's a man called Paul. He has seen you praying in the spirit." So the spiritual eyes of Paul were opened. So there's a difference between the spiritual light and the natural light. There is a difference between revelation and our carnal knowledge. And these are the two veils that needs to be removed before we can know God in spirit and in truth. The first veil is a veil of ignorance of spiritual things. The second veil is a veil of understanding. When the Holy Spirit comes to our life, first when Jesus circumcised our heart, we receive the Holy Spirit and the light begins to shine in our heart, the light of the knowledge of God on the face of Jesus Christ himself. That's the first work of the Holy Spirit, to open our heart. That's why no one can say Jesus Christ is Lord unless he's guided by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. Jesus said to the Pharisees in John chapter 8, verse 23, "You are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world." Jesus spoke those words, but they couldn't understand. They could only see him in the natural, right? His body, son of Mary, son of Joseph, that all sense knowledge could only see his physical body. But who was able to perceive in the spirit who Jesus was? Now the question is, what propelled Peter to follow Jesus? What propelled the apostle to follow Jesus? God gave them the grace. God opened their spiritual eyes to see the light of Christ and to follow him immediately.
So when you say the two veils, what you're saying is that the first one is for us to have knowledge of spiritual things, and that's the light of the knowledge of Jesus. But it's not just enough to have the knowledge, we need to understand.
Absolutely.
And we can't understand unless the other veil is removed.
That's why John said, "The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness did not understand it." Go to John chapter 1, verse 14 to 15. Let's listen to Apostle John, what he says about Jesus. John had a deep, deep grace of God that many of the others did not receive. God opened his eyes to understand the deep things of God. Let's listen to what he says.
"In the beginning was the Word,
and in the beginning,
Word was with God."
Yes.
"And the Word was God."
Yes.
"He was in the beginning with God."
Mm-hmm.
"All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made."
Mm-hmm.
"In him was life, and the life was the light of men."
And the light was the life of man. Continue.
"And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it."
The light shines in the darkness did not understand it.
So that is why we as believers, we are living in a dark world, it's very true, but we're not called to get used to the dark. We're called to shine as light if truly we believe the words of Jesus. We're called to shine as light like Jesus did. And how can we shine as light when that word becomes a part of us? John explains to us clearly that Jesus and the Word are one. And in the Word of Jesus is the light of life. The only reason we can shine as light in this dark world is if we have the light of the word of God in our hearts. And that is why we keep going back to this, because if we grab on other things and try and take shortcuts to spiritual maturity, it's not possible. The light of the life of the word of God has to be alive in our hearts.
So this means the Holy Spirit is the one that opens our eyes to see the light. And once you see the light of revelation, the Holy Spirit will help you to illumine your mind, to remove that second veil of your mind, so you can understand the meaning of what God is saying. There is something to have ears. There is another thing to be able to understand what you hear. That's why the Bible says in the book of Proverbs chapter 20, and reads from verse 17, 12, that eyes that can see, ears that can hear is a gift from God. So what do we need when we read our Bible, when we approach God? We need the Holy Spirit to illumine our heart and our mind so we can have access to the light and understand what the meaning of the Bible is for us. Whatever we do, when we approach God, we need Him. If we go by our power, by our might, by our mind and knowledge, we will never see the truth. We will end up like the Pharisees did, being in the natural, being in carnal, trying to figure out spiritual things with our natural human knowledge. And that's where frustration will come. That's exactly what Apostle Paul, when he came to Ephesus in Acts chapter 19, he saw they were worshiping, but the worship was carnal. Something was lacking. And he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? We are saying this to you today, that Jesus has come to give us a promise, to fulfill the promise of restoring the relationship between God and man by removing all the barriers between God and man. That's why I say, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the light. I am the way that leads to the truth of revelation that brings you the light of life. When you come to that light, you will live, you will see clearly. When you have the light of life, you will never walk in darkness. You will know God's opinion about yourself and others. You will know the purpose of God. It will bring a sense of righteousness. You will be able to know whom God is. And you will be able to have what we call self-knowing. What is self-knowing?
Your conscience will be alive.
Exactly. Yeah. When your conscience is alive, you begin to perceive revelation, intimation in your heart. Mm. And number two, the veil upon our mind is removed and we begin to understand whom we are in Christ Jesus. And then you'll be able to worship God in the spirit through your conscience and in truth through faith. When the light comes and you understand the light, your mind is renewed and you know whom you are. You know what God wants. You know what to do. You will speak positively. You will act positively and you will move positively, led by the Holy Spirit.
It's true, because no matter the situation you're in, or even however maybe you strive to follow the word of God and you strive to live for Jesus in this difficult, dark world, unless our mind is renewed, it's almost impossible to do that. Our mind needs to be renewed with the word of God. That means then we can see ourselves as Jesus sees us. And that means we can worship God in spirit and truth, and we can have that relationship that Jesus came to give us. He said it's all about worshiping God in spirit and truth. In the heart, it's not about fulfilling specific steps or rituals or rites.
Thank
you. It's about your heart being in the right place for God to speak to you.
Now you understand, we have two types of people now, as the drawing is showing you. This is the first veil, when man is separated from God. This is the second veil. I will explain by this one, the first one first. When you look at this one, you see this person is separated from God. It doesn't know God. The veil is there. Light is here, and his spirit is in the dark. His soul is in the dark. His body is in the dark. He's walking in complete ignorance of whom God is. He doesn't know the ways of God. He even does not know that he has a spirit. He's only living in the light of the world. He's only conscious of what he sees here in the world. And that is the problem we are facing every day. He's operating in the natural, and now he's always in the light of the world. But the spiritual light is off. He is what I call to be carnally minded. Means his mind, his thinking is ruled by the senses here. What he sees, what he hears, what people tells him. He does not know God's opinion. Whatever happened to his life, he will be easily overwhelmed because he does not operate by faith. By faith, we do not look at these things that are visible. By faith, we look at what is unseen. What is unseen is this one, the spiritual light of God. Such a person, first veil and second veil, he has two. Mean he can never understand carnally the things of the spirit. His mind is blocked. His understanding is blocked. He is completely in darkness. If such a person dies without knowing Jesus, he will remain in darkness forever. The soul and the spirit will remain in darkness forever. And nobody wants to go to darkness after this earth. We want to be in the light. When someone knows Jesus, the light of Christ will begin to shine in your heart. This is what Jesus does. When you know Jesus, when you believe in Christ, the true light comes to your heart when the Holy Ghost comes into your heart to seal you with God. This person is a child of God. That's you listening to me. When you have the Spirit of God in your heart, your spirit is in the light. You begin to receive inspiration, revelation from God. When you are in the light, you have dreams, you have visions. When you are in the light, no evil spirit can enter here because they cannot sustain the light. You are free indeed. You have a free spirit. When you are in this light of the Holy Spirit, your conscience here will receive revelation from God. Your conscience become alive. And through your conscience, which are the eyes of your spirit, this light will shed a light here on your mind. You will know the will of God. Holy Spirit will help you to receive revelation in the light and to understand here, because this veil of ignorance of spiritual things is removed. That's why this person, his spirit, his soul, his body is full of light. This is what Jesus meant in Matthew chapter 6, verse 20. I want Ruth to help us. Matthew chapter 6. Let's go from verse 21 even to 22. When you are a child of God, today you will understand why you should not be afraid of darkness. You should not be afraid of demons. You should not be afraid of tomorrow, because the light of revelation of the Holy Ghost is available for you.
But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where the thieves do not break in and steal.
Mm-hmm.
For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
Verse 21, yeah.
The lamp of the body is the eye.
The lamp of the body is the eye.
If therefore your eye is good,
mm-hmm.
your whole body will be full of light.
That's the picture I show you here. What is the eye he's talking about? He's not talking about the physical eyes. Jesus is speaking to this eye, your conscience, your spiritual eyes. If your spiritual eyes are good, you will be in the light. Light is everywhere. You will know God's opinion. Led by the Holy Spirit, he will lead you step by step here. In all this area, you will know. You will see the light. You will see the light of life. When you have the Holy Spirit, when the light of shine in your heart, you have the light of knowledge of God, and your whole being, spirit, soul, and body walks in the light of God. That's what Jesus said. If your eyes are in good shape, let's continue.
But if your eye is bad,
your
whole body will be full of darkness.
Means you are walking in the darkness. Somebody whose eyes in the dark doesn't know where to go, doesn't know what to do. It doesn't know what the future holds. It's completely in dark. Like this person here is in the dark.
If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness?
Now, this is the question. Jesus said, if the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Mm. How can light in you become darkness?
Well, when you think it's light, but it's actually darkness.
Means we have two light, natural light and spiritual light, right? Mm. When you rely on the natural light of your mind, of your intellect, that is not spiritual. Natural knowledge can never, never dispel spiritual ignorance. Mm. It takes spiritual light, which is revelation, to see spiritual things. But the natural light of our mind and intellect can never understand spiritual things. Spiritual things can never be intellectually perceived. They need to be discerned by the revelation of the Spirit of God. So if we rely on our knowledge, on our own theology, on our religion without Holy Spirit, we are in the darkness concerning spiritual things. we have wrong interpretation. We do things in the body, but not in spirit. We can worship, we can sing, do everything but in the natural, but not in the spirit. And we miss the end of all things. That's why Jesus said, we have to worship God in spirit and in truth. I'm coming back to the graphic. To worship God in spirit, I must be here in the spirit. In truth, mean I must raise hand and praise him here in the by faith on the evidence of the outside. Not only with my mouth, but with my heart. With all your heart, with all your mind, you worship God in the light led by the revelation of the Holy Spirit. This makes me to say something today. When we pray to God, when we worship, when we read the Bible, when we fast, whatever we want to do for God's sake, we need the Holy Spirit so that we can do those things in spirit and in truth, with all our heart, with all our mind, with the light of knowledge of God. There are many things we can do religiously without the Holy Spirit, and we miss the end of it. That's why the Pharisees and Sadducees rejected Jesus, because they saw him only religiously and rejected the Spirit. That's what Stephen said in Acts chapter 7. They rejected him because they resisted the prompting of the Spirit of God. Can we go to Genesis chapter 6, verse 5? This Bible we read is the book of the Holy Spirit. It demands revelation from the Spirit of God to understand its divine meaning. That's where the light of life is. We need to understand it so we can bear fruit of righteousness in our lives.
Genesis 6, verse 5.
Yes.
Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually.
Yes. I forgot to say, continue.
And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and the birds of the air.
And verse 2?
That the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever.
My spirit will not strive with man forever.
For he is indeed flesh.
Do you know the meaning of that? If the Holy Spirit abandons us, we become flesh, carnal. Without the Holy Spirit, we do things on our own. We pray on our own. We preach on our own. We teach on our own. Whatever we do on our own mind, power and might.
That means if the grace of God is removed from us, whatever we do that we think is good is will actually be seen as evil.
It's as nothing in vain. We must not only raise our hands and mouth, we should bring our heart, led by the Holy Spirit. We need Holy Spirit in every section of our lives.
So that means there's nothing good in us without the Holy Spirit.
Nothing good. That's what Jesus said.
Salvation's not in us.
Now you understand why God warned Adam, don't touch the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Because you can know what is good intellectually, but you will not know what is good spiritually. It takes revelation of the Holy Spirit. When you are carnal, you can never know what is good in the sight of God. But what is evil, what is bad, we all know. That's in the senses, in the flesh, you will do. That's why it's so easy to do what is wrong. It's so difficult to do what is right.
Yeah, no one needs to teach you how to lie, how to cover things up, how to give excuses for wrongdoing. That one comes naturally.
That's why we have to be careful. We have to pray for people. We have to pray for others. If you see someone who does not know God, please pray for that person. You can never force that person to know God. It takes spiritual understanding. You can never force that person to believe. It takes a work of Holy Ghost to come to conviction of your heart. What you can do, intercede for that person.
Because the hardest thing to change is human heart.
Absolutely.
It's impossible for our heart to change without the Holy Spirit. It's only the Holy Spirit that can change our heart.
Thank you. Mean only Holy Ghost can remove the veil. God does it. Now the second one is our own duty. Once we are a child of God, we have the Spirit of God. My duty is this old flesh and this mind needs to be renewed every single day by reading the Bible and meditating. How
so,
do you...
Wait, sorry, take it back a bit for people. So it means the first veil, Jesus has removed the first veil.
Yes. Jesus removed it at the point of salvation. I mean, the world is broken. That's why in Matthew chapter 27, verse 51, when Jesus died, the veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom.
So what was separating man from God was removed?
Absolutely.
Through
from
Jesus.
Top to bottom. I mean, God did it from top, from high. It's God that removed the veil, not man.
So now our role is the second veil.
This is the one that creates a wahala.
Which is wahala, trouble. How to renew our mind. Because the second veil is all about a spiritual understanding of the knowledge of Christ.
That is it. That's why we need, once you read and you read something, don't rely on your human understanding. Meditate. Say, Holy Spirit, what's the meaning of this? When I read the Bible and God said, let there be light, I said to God, what is the meaning of this light? Since the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 7, that God created another light, the moon, what's the difference between the two lights? Then he will tell you, there's a spiritual light and a natural light. The spiritual light is for spiritual things. Natural light for natural things. As you have the sun and the moon, that's the light of man. But Jesus came to give you a light that needs to be discerned spiritually.
And unless it's discerned spiritually, it can't benefit us. It's only when that word enters our heart that it can become effective. So having knowledge of the word is not enough. Having knowledge of the right way to go is not enough. We have to understand it, and it has to become a part of us. And then that's when it will change our conduct and our character. And that is when it becomes a part of our life. It's only then that it can become effective.
So,
application of the word.
Thank you. We should not forget there are two dimensions in everything we do. Spiritual, let me come down here, spiritual and natural. That's the cross. That's the cross. Spiritual, Jesus came to destroy this wall so we can both operate in the spirit and in the natural, led by the Holy Spirit. Here is belief. Here is faith. When you are led by the Spirit of God, you do not become carnally minded, as we see here. You become spiritually minded. Let me make light so you can see clearly. You become a spiritual person. There's no veil here. There's no veil, and you walk in the light every single day. This is God's will for you and I. That's why the Bible says, meditate, pray without ceasing.
Until God gives you clear light.
Absolutely.
So that clear light is the light of understanding.
Thank you. The light of revelation and understanding will follow you. That's why the work of the Holy Ghost at first begin in the revelation and second in the understanding. When the Holy Spirit comes, the two veils will remove. The first one, the right knowledge of God will come to your heart. Light of revelation, when the veil of darkness is removed. And second, the Holy Ghost gives you knowing of whom you are in Christ Jesus, of knowing the mind of God, the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. You will walk in the light of God's word. His light will lead you to think right, to speak right, to act right in the natural. You are in the light. Now, why we are saying all this to everybody here? This is a reminder of what you have. When you have the Spirit of God in your heart, sometimes we behave, as Paul said to the Galatians, if our mind is not renewed, you can have the Spirit of God, but you will doubt the goodness of God. You allow the veil of the mind to stay there. Look at that veil. It's every day. You have to remove it. God removed the first one, but the second one is your duty. If you don't read the Bible, if you allow the things of the world to come, it will cloud your mind and you cannot see clearly here. And your mind is disturbed here. The scripture says, we walk by faith, not by sight. So read your Bible every single day. Don't just read it. Meditate till revelation come. When revelation come, the same Bible verses will ring in your spirit. And that's the light of revelation. That's the one that brings light. That's the one when you speak it, Holy Ghost will come and your prayer will be answered. Now, today, all over the world, we have this issue. God to help us to remove the veil. A person who does not know Jesus has to run to Jesus. When you turn your heart to Jesus, when you give your life to Jesus, the light will come, the first light of God. You begin to have dreams and vision. You begin to have the things of God. And when Jesus comes, he will give you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Ghost begins to work in your understanding, in the renewal of your mind. You don't think like people think, but you think like God thinks. An example, when Jesus was going to the cross, he said to the disciples, I'm going to the cross. They will crucify me. You know what he said?
But it's like they didn't hear what he said.
Peter got, what did Peter say?
No, it can never happen to you.
Never happen. Why? Because at that time, Peter was here. Peter did not have Holy Spirit yet. Peter was here. He was ignorant of spiritual things. And Jesus rebuked him. He said, you think like man. I mean, you are carnally minded. Not that God thinks you are not spiritually minded. That's what Jesus was saying. You are carnally minded. That's what Paul said in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 5. The carnally minded person sets his affection and thoughts on the things of the earth. But the spiritually minded sets his affection on the things that are from above. The second veil needs to be removed before you can understand the things of God. When we understand this, we humble ourselves and we will do nothing without being led by the Holy Spirit. We should not lean and rely on our own human understanding. We should continue to pray, to meditate till light come. When the light come, you will understand everything. So I'm speaking to you. If you find it hard to read the Bible, if you find it difficult to understand the Bible, remember in Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian eunuch. He could not understand, but he never gave up. I read this. I could not understand, but I say I will continue to meditate, to pray, till God comes and give you a clear light. When God sees your determination to understand, keep reading, keep meditating. Before you realize it, God will open your heart and you begin to perceive, you begin to understand, you begin to grasp spiritual things. Meaning the Holy Spirit is at work behind your mind to give you light, to give you understanding. So never give up. We need to go deep, deeper and deepest. Don't rely on your senses. Rely on God to lead you. Meditation, we talk about meditation so many times. It's not your mind that meditates. That's his thinking. It is your spirit. When the Holy Spirit is leading you, your heart is meditating 24 hours, but your mind will not know unless God reveals it to you. Please, the spiritual things, be in the spirit and walk in the spirit. That means in spirit and in truth. Inquire from God. Examine from God. Holy Spirit will open the light. Will bring the light of understanding and will guide you to walk in the light of God. When you have a difficult situation you couldn't understand, ask God. Meditate. God can give you a dream, a revelation, a word of prophecy, and you will know his mind on the matter and you will stop worrying. So walk in the light. That's why Jesus said to you in Matthew chapter 5 verse 14, we are the what? The light of the
world.
You are the light of the world if you are in the light. And Paul said to all of us in Ephesians chapter 5, we are children of light. We were once darkness, but now we are light in the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, from verse 5 to 8, say the same thing. We are in the light. We are children of the day, not of the night. We are from the light. That's why, as Ruth said, we are not here to get used to darkness, but to shine as light. Let the light shine in your heart. Let the light of the knowledge of God shine in your heart, in your mind. You know who Jesus is. You know whom you are in Christ Jesus. And you never walk in darkness in your life.
Yes, 1 yes. Thessalonians.
Let's read it.
5 from verse.
From verse 5.
5. You are all sons of light.
You are all sons of light.
And sons of the day.
And sons of the day.
We are not of the night.
Sons of the day. The light got separated on the first day. Let there be light. He separated light from darkness. And he said that was the first day. That's why you're light of the day. That's why Prophet Elisha taught everyone. We say good morning 24 hours. Because we are children of the day, not of the darkness.
Yeah.
When you know you are in the light, there's no darkness even at midnight. We say good morning at midnight, good morning at 4 a.m., good morning. We are children of the light. Continue reading.
Good morning to every part of your life. Amen.
Yes.
We are not of the night nor of darkness.
We are not of the night. We are not of darkness.
Therefore.
So we don't say good evening. You go ahead.
Therefore, let us not sleep.
Let us not sleep.
Others do.
Let your body sleep, but don't let your mind and your spirit sleep. Watch and pray.
But let us watch and be sober.
Yes. When you are sleeping in your bed, and you are a spiritual person, your spirit and your mind are still connected to God, even you don't know. That's why you have dreams and visions.
Because our spirit never sleeps.
Never sleeps. Mm. That's what the Bible says. So, come to the light of God's word. Mm. Rely on the Holy Spirit. Don't push the Holy Ghost back. Sometimes we open our Bible, we even don't ask him to come. We rely on our knowledge. That's why sometimes we face some parables of Jesus, difficult to understand. Mm. But when you have the Holy Spirit and you are humble, your heart will be illumined. And the light, spiritual light, will come to illumine your mind. And then Holy Ghost will illumine your heart, your mind, and you will understand your work. So the work of the Holy Ghost begins in the understanding. When you see the light, you will fear no more. You will worry no more. And you will stay in the truth of Christ and walk by faith. That is it. Thank you.
Amen.
Ruth, are you in the light?
Yes.
People of God, are you in the light? I'm talking to people in the light. So please don't trust these physical eyes. Can we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, and we conclude?
But as it is written, eye has not seen.
These eyes, natural eyes, can never see Jesus, can never see vision, can never see tomorrow.
Nor ear heard.
These ears can never hear Holy Ghost, can never hear the Father.
Nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him.
Only God will prepare those things for you, spiritual things, the things of the Spirit, the things that are from above.
But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit.
God will reveal it to you through the light of revelation of the Holy Spirit in your heart and your mind.
For the Spirit searches all things.
Oh Lord.
Yes, the deep things of God.
You will know the heart of God, the mind of God for your life. Amen.
Amen.
Shall we pray?
Let's pray, yes.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Oh, Holy Spirit, you are the giver of all light. You are the giver of all life. You illumine the scripture. You are the one that opened our eyes to see revelation from God, the promises of God for our lives. You are the one that gives us spiritual understanding to perceive from our heart the divine meaning of the scriptures. Illumine our heart. Illumine our mind with the light of knowledge of everlasting things. Let the veil be removed from the hearts in the name of Jesus. Let the veil upon the mind be removed in the name of Jesus and make us spiritually inclined. As Colossians said, Colossians chapter 3 verse 5, 1 to 5, let our heart and mind rise beyond the natural and begin to receive revelation, understanding in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
And we can't wait to hear what God is doing in your life as the light of revelation continues to shine in your heart. And remember, that second veil, we have a role to play in removing that second veil. And that is to continue to renew our mind. How?
Meditation.
By meditating on the word of God.
Till the light comes.
The word to wash our spirits, allowing the word to continue to illumine our hearts with the light of the revelation of the knowledge of Jesus. Amen?
Thank you.
Tell us the testimony of how putting it into practice has helped your spiritual life so that the veil of your mind can be removed.
Amen.
Amen.
Please, the message of today is not a theory. It's a practical side of Christianity. Mm. Please pray in your heart and trust the leading of the Holy Spirit and your life will change. Amen.